Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, only March 1st, and welcome to the commentary. Welcome to the month of March. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about the election in Chicago and a little bit about Mexico. Mexico continues to be in the news. But I want to begin by putting something out, and that is that every time that President Biden goes off the script, every time he's got a microphone and he's in front of a crowd, he is telling all kinds of stories. And as we are learning more and more and more, a lot of these stories he's just making up. Now, some of you are going to say, well, that's no big deal. Okay, no big deal. But if you're going to have a politician making up stories about what happened in his life, then how can you go after this Congressman Santos from New York for telling a bunch of stories about his life that were not true? I mean, you got to be consistent here. But what's really scary is that President Biden goes off on these stories. Yesterday, he was talking about a nurse. Then another story, he was saying how he would go to mass at 7:30 and then go over to the black church. And I guess he would sing at the black church or hear the songs or whatever. You know, that there's apparently no evidence that that was true. But he continues to say these stories. So you have to wonder, you know, does he really believe it or is he just making this up? I mean, it's crazy. But it's every time, if you watch him, every time he's not reading from the teleprompter, he goes off with these stories. And, you know, when I guess he used to do that as a senator, what people tell me, but he was a senator from Delaware back then that didn't matter. He's the president of the United States right now. All these stories that he's telling, it's, I don't know. I think it's kind of scary, but, maybe I'm just too partisan. Well, they had an election in Chicago and, the mayor, Lori Lightfoot, was eliminated. She came in third place. She's not even going to go to the runoff. The runoff will be between two people, Mr. Walls, who is considered to be the conservative or the more conservative in the race, and a fellow named Mr. Johnson, who's considered to be a real liberal. So we'll see what the city of Chicago selects. They have a runoff in a month. You know, Mayor, there's an interesting article. I have a post coming out Thursday morning about this. But there's an interesting editorial in the Chicago Sun-Times talking about what went wrong with Lori Lightfoot. And frankly, everything went wrong with Lori Lightfoot. She was the wrong person. She was not really prepared for the job. Now, some people say, well, she had some bad luck because she came in, COVID, George Floyd, and these two things created some, you know, let's just say difficult situations to govern a city. You know, I can cut her some slack on that, particularly COVID. But she could have stood up to the teachers unions and said, no, we're not going to close the schools any more than we have to. She could have supported the police and said, you can march on the George Floyd situation, but you don't have to burn down cities and businesses. So it seems to me she didn't have the leadership to stand up. She wasn't ready to govern a city like Chicago, a very complicated city, nevertheless. But she's just the wrong person for the job. I think that's what it came down to. And, you know, this is another example of identity politics. You know, the fact that she is a black woman of a certain gender identification had a lot to do with why she got the job. And I'm hoping that the Democrat Party takes a look at Lori Lightfoot and Secretary of Transportation and the Vice President and the Press Secretary and maybe begins to reconsider identity politics. And maybe they start looking for people who are actually qualified to do the job. But I think in this case, this lady was not qualified to be a mayor. She had no experience. She had never run anything. And the city of Chicago is a very complicated city to run because of all the different ethnic groups. And, you know, it's a big city, and running a big city is always complicated. And she had no managerial experience whatsoever. And I think it showed. So when you have no managerial experience and no willingness, no backbone to stand up to these interest groups, well, you get a disaster. And you lose like this, pretty humiliating defeat. She couldn't even get 20% of the vote in this election. So we wish her well, but she was not a very good mayor. I have a post over at the American Thinker today about Mexico again. I've had three of them in a row now. They're all available at the American Thinker. You can also read them on my blog. This one is about the very real possibility that the United States is going to be asking Mexico to send El Chapo's son to the United States. El Chapo's son was arrested recently in Mexico. He's apparently running or was running the family business, and he was one of the key players and somebody that the United States wants over here. I would think that Mexico will comply. I would think that the López Obrador administration will comply with that request, because I don't think they want him down there and have another escape. I mean, we remember what happened with his father. So I'm guessing that the Mexican government will comply. You know, you never know with this government. Speaking of Mexico, there's an excellent editorial today in the Dallas Morning News, and you're starting to see more and more voices sounding off about López Obrador and his anti-democratic ways. And there's a great editorial in the Dallas Morning News today saying that there's, you know, that his policies are a threat to Mexican democracy. And what we're talking about with his policies, what we're talking about is the fact that he wants to change the way the votes are counted, basically, the way that the elections happen. Not the actual days of the election and what party can run or not run, but the process by which the elections are counted, the electoral commission, the electoral identification that Mexicans have, a system that, by the way, has worked extremely well. He wants to change that. And there are many people in Mexico, of course, who are very angry, and that's where all these protests were about last weekend. So, you know, I guess the good news is that more and more people around the world are starting to see this, and they're starting to complain, and they're starting to make their voices heard. We're seeing it here in the U.S. Congress, where Republicans and Democrats are pointing this out. And we're seeing it in editorials and comments from all over the world that maybe López Obrador is threatening Mexican democracy. Now, Mexican democracy is not perfect, of course. And, you know, for a long time, they were run by one party. And for a long time, there was a lot of talk of corruption. But they've had several elections here recently where the system seems to be working well. And one of the reasons it works well is because of the identification card and the fact that the Electoral Commission is independent. In other words, it's independent of the political party. The people who count the votes and run the computers are independent of the political parties. And that's what López Obrador wants to change. I don't know if he's going to do it. Right now, the issue is before the Supreme Court, the Mexican Supreme Court. And what they will decide, I don't know. But this could be really a game changer in Mexico if President López Obrador is able to do this. Well, the story of the Chinese lab continues to be a topic of conversation. The director of the FBI was on Fox News with Brett Baer on their news hour, that Fox report that they have at 5 o'clock Central Time. And it was a very good interview, actually, I thought. And it was interesting to me because the director pretty much said, yeah, I think we always felt that it came from a lab. And as I mentioned in an earlier video, I'm not surprised that it came from a lab in China. When this first came out, I always thought that was a very good possibility, that it either intentionally or accidentally came out of a lab. I always thought that was a real possibility. To me, the scandal here is that we were not allowed to have a conversation about this, and that many people back here were canceled and humiliated because they raised the possibility that this was a Chinese government job or an accident or whatever. I think that was the real scandal, the fact that we couldn't have a conversation about this, but we're going to have a conversation now. I guarantee you that some of these people are going to be coming before the House and before the Senate, and they're going to have to answer. They're going to have to answer some of these questions. Well, a couple of things on this day in history to leave you with. On this day in 1904, Glenn Miller was born. Now, my father loved Glenn Miller and would tell me stories about his music and all of that. Glenn Miller, of course, the great band leader of the 1940s. He disappeared over the English Channel in December 1944. At the time, he was actually serving in the military. He was not a soldier, but he was doing his duty, basically performing for the soldiers with his band or an army band or whatever. And he was on his way to Paris to perform at a Christmas concert for the American soldiers and the Allied soldiers who had just liberated France. And well, he took off from England and the plane was lost over the English Channel. All kinds of speculation as to what happened. The one that I think most people believe is the real story is the fact that he may have been hit, accidentally hit, by some airplanes who were dropping bombs in the English Channel after a mission to Europe. What happened back then is that if the planes went on a mission to, let's say, a bombing mission, when they came back, they would drop the bombs in the English Channel so they wouldn't be landing full of bombs at the base. And there's now a very good theory. One of those planes accidentally dropped bombs and hit Glenn Miller's plane. That's the theory going around. Nobody knows for sure what the real answer is because Glenn Miller, as of today, is still listed as missing in action. But he was born on this day in 1904 in Iowa. And a great musician, a great musician. His songs are, or his arrangements, I should say, are absolutely amazing. And we also remember on this day in history, 1969, the great Mickey Mantle retired from the Yankees and from an amazing baseball career that lasted about 18 years long. Mickey Mantle, the great switch hitter, one of the greatest players of all time, retired on this day in 1969. Amazing. It was not a surprise because in the last two or three years of his career, he had been a part-time player. He, you know, his knees had pretty much given out on him. And he just wasn't the same player that he was before, but he was still Mickey Mantle. And for my generation, Mickey Mantle was one of the people we grew up as kids cheering for, the great Mickey Mantle, number 7, with the New York Yankees. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.